Zane pulled back suddenly. At the same second, an explosion of tingles erupted along the nape of my neck. I stared at him, still a little dazed from his kiss.
You feel it, don't you? A demon is near.
Demons don't come to the park because of the zoo. Roth said so.
Roth doesn't know everything.
Zane rose swiftly, bringing me with him.
Stay put.
But...
You're hurt. I'm not.
I'm not hurt? Oh, God. The scent of sulfur and decay reached us.
Oh, the smell.
I squinted as a dark shape appeared from out of the tree line across from the path. Whatever it was, the thing was at least 7 feet tall and smelled like the bowels of hell on a bad day. Grace sparked inside me. The only demons I knew who were that tall and smelled that bad were the kind not allowed topside for obvious reasons. I really hoped it wasn't another ghoul. The thing crossed under the lamppost and I recognized its moonstone-colored skin. Nightcrawler. Which was worse than a ghoul. Nightcrawlers were extraordinarily strong and they carried a toxic venom in their mouth and claws that could render a person paralyzed. But this one was chained. The metal circled its neck and at the end of the chain, the pressure at the nape of my neck intensified and within a heartbeat I could make out the shape of another form. This one wasn't as tall or as broad, but instinct told me it was far more dangerous than a nightcrawler. As if it were out for an evening stroll, it slowly crested the embankment and passed through the lamplight. His features were blurry, but I knew he had to be painfully beautiful. All upper-level demons were. I frowned as I realized he held the end of the chain.
Are you actually walking a nightcrawler?
The upper-level demon laughed, but the nightcrawler didn't find the comment amusing. A low, rumbling growl radiated from the rabid creature, raising the tiny hairs all over my body.
My name is Person. I'm the Great King of Hell, commander of 22 legions of pet nightcrawlers. And I'm here for the Nephilim.
No one uses Nephilim anymore. It's offensive and outdated.
Do I look like someone who cares if you find it offensive or outdated?
I was gonna go out on a limb and say no.
I'm not.
Shocker!
I want to make it very clear who I am so there is no unnecessary drama.
You talking sure feels like a whole lot of unnecessary drama.
I'm the finder of hidden treasures and knower of secrets! There is nowhere you can hide that I won't discover.
So you're the Indiana Jones of demons? Cool.
Indiana Jones? I don't know who that is.
My brows lifted. You don't know who Indiana Jones is? And I'm supposed to believe you're the knower of secrets and finder of things?
I don't care what you believe. If you run from me, you won't make it far. You'll just irritate me and you don't—
Shut up. I don't have time for this. I was just reunited with my girl and you're really ruining the moment.
Slowly, I looked at Zane. Oh, wow. I saw his back sans wings for the first time. With just the moonlight, I could make out an odd pattern along his back that hadn't been there before. It looked sort of like a tattoo, with ink only a degree or so darker than his skin. But it appeared raised, like a scar.
I don't know who you are.
Person sounded curious, and that was interesting. He couldn't tell what Zane was. But the seeker demon had. It had run. But Zane had the wings out then.
You feel different and yet familiar. It would be very intriguing to explore, but you're standing between me and what I need. Therefore, you're nothing but his personal chew toy.
He looked at the nightcrawler.
I like to gnaw on things I'm not supposed to.
Sorry, I'm a one-person personal chew toy, and I belong to her, so I'm going to have to pass on the offer. Appreciate it, though.
I didn't say you had a choice.
I needed to be paying attention, but the pattern along Zane's back fascinated me. And because I had absolutely no control over myself, I reached out to touch.
I got this.
A golden fire lit the veins under his skin, racing across his skin and back. I jerked my hand back in surprise, my mouth falling open as the grace rushed down his left and right arms, flowing under the skin and then firing into the air. Heavenly fire spilled from his hands, churning and spiraling, taking shape and solidifying rapidly. Two burning handles, 2 4-foot-long blades shaped in a semicircle. The Nightcrawler jerked back a step, so did I. Holy crap! He had that inside him this whole time?
What was it that you said? I don't have a choice. We all have choices. Well, except for you. You're gonna die.
Person let go of the chain, and the Nightcrawler rushed forward, but Zane was like a bolt of lightning. He was in front of me, and then he was dipping under the Nightcrawler's outstretched arm and popping up behind it. Something fell off the Nightcrawler, hitting the ground with a fleshy plop. It was an arm, an actual whole arm. Throwing his head back, the Nightcrawler howled in pain. Zane spun, arcing one crescent-shaped blade through the air and straight through the neck of the Nightcrawler. The creature burst into flames, disintegrating into a shower of ash before hitting the ground, as Person slipped into what he really looked like. His skin thinned and turned a shade of sand. Fur sprouted all over his face, joining with the mane of blonde hair. Leathery, coarse wings sprouted from his back. His nostrils elongated and flattened as his mouth stretched grotesquely wide. Sharp canines sprouted as the demon's eyes glowed iridescent, pupils stretching vertically. Person had the head of a lion. I would never unsee this. Zane spun toward the upper-level demon and changed, but it was nothing like when he was a warden. The luminous glow pulsed over his body as the raised markings stretched and lifted off his back, becoming solid. Wings. The markings on his back were where his wings had gone, and how freaking crazy was that? Now they spilled outward, unfolding and rising high on either side of Zane. Golden streaks of light pulsed throughout the snow-white feathers. And that was the exact moment when Person realized what Zane was.
Oh, shit.
Person lifted his hands.
You can have whatever you want. Anything. My legions, my loyalty, my fidelity.
The upper-level demon summoned the chain to his hands.
Anything, I swear to you, anything.
Your silence would be nice.
Then Zane struck. It was a graceful move of golden skin and fire. His wings lifted him into the air and then brought him down, tucking back as the flaming curved blade sliced cleanly through the air, cleaving straight through Person.
Ah, damn it.
Then he burst into flames, incinerated on the spot. Straightening, Zane shook his wings out before folding them back. They settled against his back and then they seemed to seep into his skin, leaving behind the raised pattern of what I now knew were wings. The sickle blades collapsed, shattering into golden dust that glimmered against the dark ground only for a few seconds before disappearing. The network of lit veins faded as Zane turned back to where I was standing, having done absolutely nothing other than try to touch him. Finally, I found my voice. You could do that? Like, from the moment you fell, you could do all of that?
Yeah.
I don't care what you think. A huge part of you had to still be in there when you were all Mr. Fallen. Because you could have done that at any time and you didn't.
I could. I did. There were demons I took out that way. But you're right. I didn't want to when it came to you.
Thank God. You're badass, Zane. He lifted his head.
I thought I was badass before.
You were. Like, you were badass, but now you're bad period ass period. I'm kind of having sword envy right now.
It really doesn't bother you, does it?
Does what?
What I am now. What I'm capable of. Because this is me.
He placed his hand over his heart as he walked forward, stopping in front of me.
But I'm different now. I can feel that. There's this... I don't know how to explain it, but there's this coldness in me, and that need to dominate is still there. It's not directed at you. It never will be again. But I don't know if there's more about me that has changed.
He was different. How he'd spoken to the demon wasn't like Zane. like the old Zane. There had been a taunting quality to his words that said he was going to enjoy what he was about to do. The way he took out the Nightcrawler was another example. Old Zane wouldn't have chopped off an arm. He would have gone straight for the kill. But I also knew that I would always be safe with him. Hell, I was beginning to think that I'd actually been more safe with him when he was scary fallen than I even realized before. And that coldness he felt? I wondered if it was the loss of his glory he was feeling, which was sort of equivalent to a human soul. I had no idea what that meant for him long term, and that worried me. But I knew that no matter what, I would still love him. And his lack of glory didn't stop him from loving me. We'd figure out whatever else might have changed together.
The only thing that bothers me is how unfair it is that you have two swords and I have one. That's BS.
A wide, beautiful smile broke out across Zane's face. That was another thing I didn't know if I'd ever hear again. His laugh. And it was beautiful. A warm breeze caught the strands of his hair, lifting them from his shoulders as he looked around. Come to think of it, the abnormal chill was gone from the air. I watched him, wondering if he had something to do with the weather. How strange would that be? But it couldn't have been a coincidence that it had been 20 or more degrees cooler than normal up until he'd been restored. Well, mostly restored, to who he'd been before.
This is the, what, third demon that's come for you? Have there been more?
It's only been the ghouls, the imps from the other night, and this dork.
I thought it was probably best not to mention that 2 out of 3 times I left the house, I'd had a run-in with a demon looking for me.
Why isn't Dez with you?
The crone told me that a warden or demon's energy could mess with the spell. I should call him, share the good news.
We can do that later. Right now, I want to get you home.
Home. The new apartment that Zane had barely spent any time in, where he'd placed glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling for me. My chest squeezed. Before, it was just walls and a roof, with my clothing still half packed away in luggage. It wasn't until now that it felt like home. Gabriel obviously knows where I am. He'll come again.
But you won't be alone.
My heart turned into a gooey mess.
We may have to figure out somewhere else to stay if it becomes too much of a problem.
The Transfiguration. Wait, you weren't there for that part of his extremely long-winded speech on how he plans to end everything?
I know about it.
He took my hand. And the feel of his palm firmly against mine was a wonderful feeling.
I've been filled in on a few things, the Transfiguration being one of them. He plans to open a rift between Earth and Heaven so that Bale, along with souls that belong to Hell, can enter Heaven.
You really have been updated. Was it the Alphas?
God, I still can't believe you were actually in Heaven. The Heaven! What was it like? Is it just fluffy white clouds and angels chilling and doing nothing? Souls roaming around, having everything they could ever want? Or does it look like this place, but with angels and souls? I've asked so many spirits, but none of them will tell me. Oh my God, did you see your father?
A grin played across his lips as he stared down at me. And I didn't even realize what I was doing until I was jumping on him. Zane caught me as I wrapped my arms around his neck, and this time, he kept his footing. His arms immediately swept over me and he held me just as tight as I clung to him. Raw emotion crashed through me as it hit me once more that Zane was alive and it was him. A little bit different, but him.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not sorry. I just needed a hug.
This has to be my favorite kind of hug.
Mine too. I can't believe you're really here.
If you need to remind yourself that I'm really here, please feel free to jump on me. I won't mind. I'll catch you.
Why do you always have to say such perfect things?
I don't always say the right things. You know that more than anyone else.
I do. That's why I know what you say is usually just perfect. I'm an expert in these things.
I probably shouldn't argue with you then.
For just a few moments, I let reality soak its way in. There was hope. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. He was the silver lining, and this moment was proof that miracles were possible. There was a future beyond all of this. Pulling myself together, I slowly disentangled myself. Okay, I need to focus. I am focused. You can answer all the questions about heaven later, but back to what's important. What did the angels tell you? I started walking again, pulling Zane along with me until I stopped. Where am I walking to, by the way?
I figured we'd catch a ride since I'd rather speak to Nick before I take to the air. I can get high enough that humans can't tell my wings aren't like a warden's, but I want to make sure none of the wardens think I'm going to kill them.
The wardens. He'd said that like he was no longer one of them. And he wasn't.
Good call.
Is it possible what Gabriel claimed? That Baal and the souls would infect heaven and that God would close the gates?
Yes. Which basically means any human that dies would no longer be able to enter heaven. All the souls would be trapped on earth, either becoming wraiths or tortured by demons. With the spheres of heaven closed off, demons would have no reason to stay hidden. Earth would become hell, and parts of heaven would be lost.
I was kind of hoping he was just delusional.
Unfortunately not. Some of the alphas and other angels already want to close up shop.
I wondered if my father was one of them. Anger flashed through me. What had become of Gabriel couldn't have been a complete shock to the other archangels. But none of them had done anything. My own father hadn't even told me that Gabriel was the harbinger, let alone prepared me to come face to face with an archangel. Angels were virtually useless. Well, except that throne. He'd been helpful. I peeked over at Zane, who was technically an angel, but not. He wasn't useless. But any number of the angels, from the lowest class all the way up to the archangels, could have done something other than stand by and play Animal Crossing or whatever it was that angels did in their spare time. We reached the mouth of the park.
You have your phone on you, right? Want me to order a pickup?
Yeah. The entrance spotlights weren't nearly bright enough to minimize the glare of the phone, so I eagerly handed it over. As he opened up the app, I let my gaze drift over him. His features were still far clearer than they had been before. In this kind of light, I would have never been able to make out the slash of his brow or the set of his lips. That hadn't been my imagination. It had to be because of what he was, of the grace inside him. Nothing else around me seemed more clear. Zane's finger stilled and he looked over at me.
Sorry, I was staring at you like a total creeper.
You should know by now that I have no problem with you staring at me.
He handed my phone over, and after I slid it into my back pocket, he caught my hand and tugged me against his chest. I burrowed in like a barnacle.
I'm sorry.
For what?
For what?
He cupped the back of my head, keeping me there with my cheek against his heart.
For leaving you?
That wasn't your fault, Zane. It's not like you chose to.
I know, but that doesn't make it easier knowing that you've been through hell and I couldn't be there for you. I wanted to go to you as soon as I realized I could, but when I did, well, that sure as hell didn't help.
I had questions about exactly what had happened to him, but they'd have to wait. You're here now. That's all that matters.
Agreed. And I'm not going to leave you. Never again, Trin. Never.
The ride to the apartment was interesting. The driver, an older man, kept glancing in the back seat, and I didn't think it had much to do with Zane being shirtless at that. I was attached to his side like we were pieces of Velcro. There was a nervousness in the older man's movements, and when the man's eyes weren't on the road or darting to the back seat, they were on the gently swinging cross hanging from his rearview mirror. I wondered if the man sensed something otherworldly about Zane. I knew it wasn't me. I had no impact on humans. People also never seemed to realize when they were with wardens in their human form. But there was definitely an energy around Zane that hadn't been there before. It was hard to explain, but it reminded me of how the air charged and became nearly still right before a terrible storm. There was a stillness to Zane, even as he continuously ran his fingertips up and down my arm, one that made the air around him feel as if it was seconds away from exploding into violent energy, as if the very atmosphere itself was holding its breath,
waiting to see what he would do. It was kind of cool and a little scary. On the way, I did send Dez a quick text letting him know that Zane was all right and that we'd call him in a bit. My phone immediately lit up with a dozen or so texts I didn't get a chance to respond to because Zane had dipped his head and pressed his lips to my temple. And the sweet kiss nearly sent me into a complete breakdown. I think the driver took his first real breath when we pulled up to the apartment building and Zane opened the door. As I climbed out, I saw the driver's gaze follow Zane as he stepped under a street lamp. The imprint of Zane's wings was faint but visible to me, so I had no doubt the older man saw it. I shut the door as the driver unhooked the cross and brought it to his lips. "We definitely need to make sure you have a shirt on when out in public." A wry grin appeared as we entered the lobby.
"You think?"
He glanced over his shoulder.
"How visible is it?"
"Well, I can see it, so..." Luckily, the lobby was empty, and with it being brightly lit, I was able to get a better look at it. "Sort of looks like a white ink tattoo of angel wings. It covers your entire back, and it looks slightly raised." Each curved feather looked like it had been painstakingly etched onto his skin, no detail missed. The slightly raised quality to it gave it the shaded appearance of a normal tattoo. The urge to touch it hit me hard again. But remembering how he'd reacted in the pool, I resisted. "It's really beautiful, Zane."
"You're beautiful."
My head jerked up and I found him staring down at me with a soft, tender pull to his lips. I could feel warmth hitting my cheeks. "I've seen what I look like right now and..."
"And you're even more beautiful than before."
He lifted his hand slowly to my face. His thumb brushed the curve of my chin.
"Each and every bruise is a badge of your strength."
"There you go again, saying all the right things."
"How is this for not being the right thing to say?"
He traced a finger along the line of my cheek, stopping where I knew the skin was still a lovely shade of bluish purple.
"I'm going to hurt Gabriel. Every bruise he left behind, every hurt he inflicted, I will repay tenfold. I want him to be alive and breathing when I strip his flesh from his bones and tear his organs from his body. And then, before he takes his last breath, I want the last thing he sees to be you before you kill him."
That was also the right thing to say. Zane raised one eyebrow. "I mean, probably not to most, but I have absolutely no problem with you doing exactly that."
"I shouldn't be surprised that you'd say that. You've always been bloodthirsty."
"True. Though I have to admit that I wouldn't have thought the Zane from before would have said all of that." As the elevator took us up, I stared at him. With the better lighting, I could see he looked the same, but not. "You know, your features are sharper to me, more defined, like a picture coming into focus in high res. It's been like that since you came back." He started to respond, when I felt the awareness swirl along the back of my neck. His gaze swung toward the elevator doors as he stepped forward, somewhat blocking me.
"There's a demon near."
"It's probably Cayman. He was going to hang out here until he heard from me." The elevator slowed to a halt. "You're bright."
"What?"
"Your skin is brighter. It's like there's a faint light under your skin. And I think that's why I can see you better than before."
"I look like a walking light bulb?"
"I don't think it's all that noticeable. I mean, if I can see it, I'm sure others can, but I don't think they'll be able to put their finger on what it is. They'll probably think you have a nice, healthy glow." He opened his mouth as he turned to the front of the elevator, his attention focused on the inside of the room as the door opened. Whatever he was about to say was forgotten as the dark-haired demon shimmied into our line of sight. Cayman's back was to us as his head bopped and his hips swayed. In one hand was a bag of chips and in the other was a can of soda. Music thumped from his earphones. Suddenly, Cayman bent at the waist, his ass went up in the air, and he shook that thing like he was getting paid. Good money, too.
"This was not what I expected."
"I don't think anyone would expect this." Cayman whipped upright, the move smooth and sinuous as he popped a chip into his mouth. The demon could dance. I stepped out of the elevator, unsure if we should interrupt him or not. He seemed to be having so much fun as he danced backward, then spun toward us. The bag of chips slipped from his fingers and slices of deep-fried potatoes scattered across the floor.
I wish we'd had the foresight to record this.
Oh, man.
Cayman reached into his pocket and the sound of music ceased. Slowly, he tugged his earbuds out as he stared at Zane.
Should I be running for my life right now?
Instead of dancing for your life?
This is not the time for jokes.
But I've got jokes for days. Cayman ignored me and lowered his voice as if Zane couldn't hear him.
I really do not want to have a repeat of Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I wasn't quite myself.
No shit. You don't feel the uncontrollable urge to hunt me down and make me scream like a small child?
Zane bent down, picking up the fallen chips.
I don't feel like doing that or hearing you scream again.
Glancing at the kitchen, he did a double take as he got a load of the mess.
On second thought,
I bit down on the inside of my cheek.
I'll clean it all up, even the mess Trinity left out.
My eyes narrowed on the demon. He winked at me before turning his attention back to Zane.
Damn, angel boy, look at how far you've fallen. Literally. Glad you're back.
Thanks, I think.
I was afraid I was going to have to move in with Trinity if this didn't work out. You know, keep her sane, sedated.
My eyes narrowed. Do you want to scream like a small child again?
Maybe later I'll let you know.
Cayman took a drink of his soda. Zane tossed the bag of chips onto the counter.
Do I look like a walking light bulb to you?
Rolling my eyes, I turned to him. I said you didn't look like that.
Just making sure.
No, but you do have a luminous undertone now that you mention it.
See? Zane's grin kicked up a notch.
Got a question for you, Cayman. Do you feel anything when you're around me?
Cayman lowered his can of soda.
Depends on what you mean.
I think he's talking about if you can sense what he is.
Other than the wings being a dead giveaway, where are they anyway?
I have them.
Zane turned, giving Cayman a view of his back.
Incognito. Nice. I haven't seen that since angels work side by side with man.
How old are you?
Old enough that I've seen entire civilizations fall only to be reborn.
Alrighty then.
But to answer your question, you definitely don't feel like a warden. You feel different. But if I hadn't seen the wings, I wouldn't have known what you are.
How is that?
I guess it's the same thing that prevents most demons from sensing that you're a trueborn. Some kind of heavenly shield attached to the grace, I suppose.
Could you sense a normal fallen? One without its grace? I wondered if I could sense one myself. Cayman nodded.
They feel like a very powerful demon. Not exactly, but similar. Any demon worth its name will be able to pick up the aura of power around you, but their minds would never put holy and crap together and end up with a fallen as the reason why. There just hasn't been one roaming around for, well, since the wardens came out of their shells, obviously.
Interesting.
Zane glanced over at me.
That's something that could be of benefit.
Yeah, except your little Targaryen burn them all moment Saturday night made it clear there was a fallen on the scene. One with his wings and grace. I'm sure that's spread farther and wider than fake news on social media.
I guess Person wasn't included in the DC Demons Facebook group or something.
Especially considering the way you feel reminds me of only one other being.
My stomach tumbled. I knew who he was referencing. Lucifer.
How does it feel, though, knowing where you really come from?
Honestly, doesn't feel good or bad. It just makes sense. Who I am, or even who I was, has nothing to do with ancestors who lived some thousands of years ago.
You're such a disappointment.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're so damn well adapted. It's no fun to mess with you about your less than holy origins if it doesn't bother you.
Sorry.
Zane strode toward me. He took my hand, pulling me toward the couch.
Sit with me?
Of course. The moment my butt hit the cushion, I was grateful not to be standing.
But now I understand why Roth said some of the things he did. And also surprised he's managed to keep that to himself.
You and me both.
Even Roth follows some rules.
You know what I don't understand?
How humans still think climate change is junk science.
Yeah, that, but...
Bitcoins? Because even I don't understand bitcoins, and I've seen all manner of money.
No. How did the future wardens end up getting created? There weren't any female fallen, right? There's no female angels.
Who says there aren't any female angels?
I've never heard of one.
There are female angels. I saw a few.
Wait, for real? What do they look like?
They look like female angels.
That's real helpful. I turned to Cayman. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about this? Why is there no mention of a female angel in any... Wait, I honestly don't even need that answered. The patriarchy.
Yep, and that's a human construct. Can't even blame us demons for that.
Okay, so there were female angels who fell?
I bet you won't be surprised to hear that no female angels have ever gotten themselves kicked out of heaven. Not because they never questioned anything. It's just that they actually questioned things in a logical, thoughtful manner instead of acting like general fools.
No, not surprised at all to hear that.
Anyway, remember the thing where God flooded the earth to rid the world of the Nephilim offspring that resulted from naughty fun times before the fallen were cast to stone? Well, God didn't get all of them.
There were only a few human women whose genetics matched up with wardens, allowing them to become pregnant with a warden. Come to find out, those women were all descendants of the children of those who fell.
Watered down Nephilim.
Watered down trueborns. All of that sounded potentially incestuous. I was just gonna hope that the first generation of wardens had hooked up with women who weren't their offspring and leave it at that. Besides, I needed to be more worried about the functionality of my own womb.
So what was it like?
Cayman picked up a small box of animal crackers before all but rolling over the back of the couch and into a corner of the sectional.
The whole dying thing? I was curious, you know, because I've never died.
That's kind of a rude question to ask. Cayman shrugged. The corners of Zane's lips tipped up.
As if you don't want to know.
Yeah, I can't even lie. I am curious.
Knew it.
He ran a hand over his head, dragging his hair back from his face.
I remember dying. Kind of.
Kind of?
I remember being under the school, in that cavern, and knowing I was dying and being scared out of my mind for you, for what would happen once I was gone. I could feel your pain, and all I wanted was to make sure you knew it would be okay.
God, it took everything in me not to launch myself at Zane again.
And then there was a loud snapping sound, almost like thunder, and this flash of intense light. Never seen something so bright before. The light receded pretty quickly, and when it did, I was in some kind of building.
A building instead of clouds? I am so disappointed.
I eventually saw clouds.
I clasped my hands under my chin. With angels resting on them?
You're gonna be really disappointed, but just normal clouds in the sky.
Heaven has a sky with clouds in it? When he nodded, my nose wrinkled. Are you sure you really were in heaven?
I'm really curious as to what you think heaven looks like.
Before I could launch into my vivid and overly detailed description of cloud cities, Zane cut in.
I was definitely in heaven.
How can you be sure?
This is gonna sound crazy, but it was how the air felt. Like the perfect temperature. Not hot, not cold, the right amount of humidity. It was how the place sounded, like a spring morning. It was the smell, and the whole place smelled like...
I leaned forward.
It smelled amazing.
I sat back, bummed he hadn't shared.
And the building I was in was like a coliseum, and I'm pretty sure it was constructed of gold.
Damn, God spares no expense.
I wondered if a demon should learn any details about heaven, but I figured if there was an issue, Zane wouldn't be talking so openly about it.
I could see the clouds through the opening in the roof, by the way. If it makes you feel better, the sky was an incredible shade of blue, and the clouds appeared fluffy.
Like your eyes. The color of the sky, that is. The grin reappeared.
At first, I was confused. I knew I was in heaven. I knew that in my bones, but I was surprised to find myself there.
Obviously, Zane thought that because he was missing a part of his soul thanks to Layla. That was water under a bridge that had been burnt down, but there was no stopping the spike of anger that followed any thoughts of how badly Zane had been wounded by Layla, even though it was before we'd even met. It wasn't like I held that against her or anything. Okay, I kind of did, but I was working on getting over that and being an overall better person. I just needed a whole lot of improvement on both of those fronts.
I wasn't alone. It took me a couple of moments to realize that someone was there with me, behind me.
Zane leaned back, his head tilted toward me.
It was your father.
I didn't think I heard him right at first.
Really? My father?
Yes.
I was stuck in disbelief for several moments, but it made sense that Michael, my father, would be there. Zane had been my protector when he died.
Was it him who told you about who the wardens were originally?
Basically. And yeah, that was a shock. But first, he made sure I knew how incredibly disappointed he was that I'd already, as he put it, gotten myself killed.
What an asshole. I wish my father was in front of me so I could punt kick him in the freaking face.
Have you met an archangel that wasn't one?
Since I've only met two? No.
I folded my arms over my chest.
You didn't get yourself killed, Zane.
Well, I guess that is debatable. I knew I was weakened and that I needed to stay back. But when I felt your pain and fear, I had to do something. I don't regret that. No matter what the outcome could have been, I don't regret coming to your aid. I told your father that after he finally shut up, which felt like hours later and probably was.
And how did he react to that?
Surprisingly well. I think he respected what I did. Maybe even hoped that was what I would say. I don't know. He's hard to read. Sort of has the same expression on his face no matter what is happening. Then he asked if I loved you.
My heart gave a little jump. I knew the answer, but for my father to ask that? Zane's gaze held mine.
I told him that I was willing to die 1,000 deaths for you, that I loved you that much. Then he asked what I would do to be reunited with you. I told him I'd do anything.
Tears filled my eyes.
I wish I had chocolate.
He didn't seem surprised to hear that, but he told me that many of his brethren believe that kind of love to be a weakness.
His brethren are stupid.
I think Michael thinks so too. He seems to believe that kind of love is a strength if used right.
I remembered how the throne had said they believed Zane could be useful. My eyes narrowed.
What did he mean by that?
Well, he feels that love can be the proper motivator to not fail in the upcoming battle. Then he asked if I would be willing to be reborn again, even if that process was less than pleasant. Honestly, I didn't understand what that meant. At first, I thought he was talking about being reincarnated, and that just confused the hell out of me. That was when he told me about the origins of the Wardens.
Sounds like Michael expected you to fall.
You know, I was thinking that myself. It was the others who explained that once I had my glory, I could stay there, protect heaven, or return to Earth when the time was right to aid you. Your father stood back and said nothing while they sort of pitched their side. But it wasn't even a choice. I told them that I wanted to return to you, and that would be the only way I would help fight Gabriel or protect heaven.
You negotiated with angels before you were given your glory and reborn?
I did.
Surprised they didn't just kick you out and send you way downtown at that point.
Agreed.
I knew I would find my way back to you one way or the other. They needed me more than I needed them.
You are...
amazing.
And so humble. How bad was it, being reborn and getting your glory back?
It was nothing.
He looked away then. Liar. It hurt, didn't it?
Kind of a silly question. Besides the fact he had to get outfitted with super special wings, he got pumped full of grace. I doubt it felt like a massage.
I shot him a look. I need to know. I need to know what you went through. His gaze coasted over my face.
Do you?
You would need to know if our situation was reversed. I knew he realized I was right.
It was like being on fire. Not just my skin, but my veins, my bones, every part of me. I thought I was dying all over again, and when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, that was when my wings changed. It felt like my skin was being carved open and new bone was being grown. It wasn't exactly a quick process.
time.
Do not say you're sorry. You have nothing to apologize for.
He cupped the back of my head.
I survived it. I'm here. I'd go through that 1,000 times if necessary.
You guys are too cute. I think I'm getting a toothache from all the sweetness.
Shut up.
You're more than welcome to leave.
Hell no, this is better than watching old episodes of The Bachelor.
I saw Zane roll his eyes before he slid his hand to my cheek where he gently splayed his fingers.
What I felt was nothing compared to what I feared was happening to you. It was temporary and worth it. Now I'm here and nowhere near as easy to kill as before. Michael already told me what Gabriel planned to do and what would happen if he succeeded. He told me you... It doesn't matter.
What did he tell you? What? Did he tell you I would die and that Gabriel planned to use my blood to basically create the back door into heaven? A muscle flexed along Zane's jaw and the glow in his eyes brightened.
It's not gonna happen.
You're right. It won't. Unease blossomed in the pit of my stomach. Something about this wasn't adding up. Zane had been given unimaginable power, even though my father and the throne had suspected that he would fall. They allowed it so that he could come back to me. Sure, he'd have to deal with Gabriel, but would the angels be that accepting of Zane's choice? That generous afterward? Nothing I knew about them would suggest so. Then, what was the catch? The sacrifice? The cost? What if after we defeated Gabriel, they'd come after Zane? What if Zane's return was temporary?
It took me a bit to get used to the grace, how to control it. I'm still not quite used to it. Sort of feels like...
A constant low-level buzz of energy?
Now I know why you have such a hard time sitting still.
That's it? They gave you a super dose of grace and allowed you to fall. Let's be real. They didn't do that so that you could be with Trinity. Most of them don't care about all your warm fuzzies for one another.
Cayman was obviously thinking the same thing I was, but with far less panic.
You're right. Most of the angels don't care about our feelings for each other. They let me fall and remain as a new and improved version to fight Gabriel.
The throne did tell me that none of the angels that could strip you of your wings and grace would come down here while Gabriel was here. Though that didn't answer what they'd do once Gabriel wasn't a problem.
You're giving them way too much credit. Angels are self-righteous enough to try, no matter the risks. They're not showing up to take his grace because he has all the power of an angel, but he's not bound to angelic law.
I twisted toward Zane. Angelic law? Like what kind of law? Zane glanced at Cayman, his brow furrowing.
I think he's talking about their law of combat. Apparently, it's forbidden for an angel to attack another.
Even in this kind of situation? Like even when one of their own is trying to end heaven?
Yep.
You've got to be kidding me. That has got to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
They believe that to take up arms against another is lifting a sword against God. It didn't make sense to me either, but he said it was a pledge they all took after the war. Obviously, they didn't put a whole lot of thought into the pledge.
By war, I was guessing he was referencing when Lucifer was booted. Suddenly, a lot of things made sense. Big things. That's why I was born. There's no way that a single angel didn't see what Gabriel was becoming. They just couldn't stop him because of the pledge. They must have realized this was as good a time as any to bring back the Trueborn, and I guess they just rolled the dice to find out who would be the baby daddy. I swallowed hard as I sat back against the cushion. I really was created to be a weapon. That wasn't breaking news or anything, but I guess there had been this tiny, childish part of me that had hoped my father had seen my mother and fallen for her. That there had been some emotion behind my creation, but there really wasn't. I'm a loophole. With my father's grace, I can fight Gabriel. And Gabriel knew about me, and he tried to do the same with Sulian.
That didn't end well for him.
While I was waiting in the Potomac Highlands to be summoned, I always thought it was for the battle that ended all battles. But my father was just waiting for Gabriel to make his move. It makes you wonder if there were more Trueborns. I mean, after they all died off. If my father made one each generation, or if others...
I don't think there were more. At least not from Michael. He strikes me as the type that would bring up other Trueborns as a way to either compliment or insult you.
You have a point there.
Look at you all putting two and two together.
Like you knew any of that.
I didn't, but what I do know is that Gabriel can most likely rip the head off a Fallen.
I turned slowly to the demon.
What? I'm just being honest.
Yeah, they told me that I'd probably still die. They're real motivators. That's why some of them want to close heaven now, but we stand a better chance together in defeating Gabriel. Even Michael believes so.
You all stand a better chance if Roth's mission is a success. That's about the only chance you stand.
What? What mission?
He doesn't know yet?
Know what?
I haven't had a chance to tell him. We've all been a little busy.
I don't think I've ever been more happy in my life to be the bearer of news.
Cayman scooted across the couch, stopping once he was mere inches from us. A slow, wicked grin spread across his face, and he did look beyond thrilled.
Roth and Layla are trying to recruit reinforcements. Well, one reinforcement in particular.
Why do I have a feeling this is something that's gonna disturb me?
Well...
Roth is trying to convince the one thing that can go toe-to-toe with an archangel to get involved. Who would have no problem breaking any celestial rule. One who actually has a lot of experience in doing just that.
Oh, please tell me that what I'm thinking is wrong.
The demon clapped his hands against his cheeks.
Depends on what you're thinking.
There's no way Roth is planning to get Lucifer topside. That would make no sense, right?
Zane looked at me, and I shrunk as far as I could into the cushion.
Because wouldn't that jumpstart the biblical apocalypse and cause us to have even more problems to deal with?
Well, we're sort of hoping that God will overlook his presence since we're trying to save mankind in heaven and, you know.
No, I don't know.
What? We decided this when you were kind of dead. He blinked slowly. And even with you being a badass fallen angel and me being a badass trueborn, we still need help. Look, Roth didn't sound like he was going to be able to pull it off anyway, so we'll probably have to find a different way.
I don't know. Lucifer has one big bone to pick with Gabriel, and if he succeeds, saves mankind and heaven, what do you think that'll do for his ego? He'll never let it go. Pride is, after all, his favorite of all sins.
I could think of a lot more fun sins, but whatever.
Lucifer? What in the hell are we supposed to do with him if he does come topside?
I don't know, but he's not staying with us.
He's not staying with us? You guys live in a huge mansion. You have room, and you all are demons. Well, Layla is a half-demon or whatever, but we are not demons, and we live in an apartment.
A state isn't enough room if you have to be sharing it with Lucifer. Well, you'll know if they're successful. You'll feel it.
What does that mean?
Lucifer loves to make an entrance.
You know, this also reminds me of something I need to ask.
Zane's ultra-bright eyes focused on the demon.
What in the hell were you thinking, letting her go out there by herself? An upper-level demon came for her tonight. Imps and seeker demons came for her here just 2 days ago. Earlier that same day, ghouls were after her.
Excuse me? I could have completely handled the Nightcrawler in person, and I would have gotten control of the ghouls and imps.
Maybe, maybe not. You're still recovering, and I can tell your grace isn't up to normal.
I really, really did not like this new talent of his.
The last thing you need to do is injure yourself further.
She needed fresh air and time alone. Everyone was crawling all over her. And in case you forgot, I was kind of running for my life. From you. I know she can take care of herself, and I didn't... Wait, did you say person? Person came for you? And ghouls and seeker demons?
Yeah, and person was walking a Nightcrawler on a leash. It was all very odd.
Gabriel must have demons out looking for her.
No, there is no way Person is working with Gabriel.
Was. He's dead.
Cayman's jaw locked down.
Person has always been loyal to Lucifer. And ghouls? There's no way Gabriel would have the kind of reach to sway them to his cause. Ghouls only exist in the lowest circles of hell.
If it wasn't Gabriel, then who? The demon looked a bit ill.
Lucifer.